The Gemara Masechet Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph says Mitzvas Ner Chanukah, Mitzvas Chanukah Ner Ishu Beito. The very basic mitzvah when it comes to Chanukah is that one candle be lit in the house each night for the entire household. And if one does that, if the first night of Chanukah, you and your whole family, mother, father, sisters, brothers, right, you light one candle the first night, and you light one candle the second night, you light one candle the third night, each night you light one candle, you yotzei the ikar mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. This is what Gemara says, one candle. The Mahadrin, the Gemara says, is the second level of the Mahadrin. And Mahadrin madlikim ner l'kol l'chad v'chad. So if, for instance, he has mother, father, and four children, so they would light the first night six candles, one for each one, and the second night six candles, and the third night six candles. That's what the Mahadrin would do. Those who want to do the mitzvah in a more muhudar fashion. And then there are the Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. Those who want to do it in a super Mahadrin fashion. And how do you light in a super Mahadrin fashion? So here we come across the very famous machloket between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says, the first night you light how many candles? Eight. And the second night, seven, six, five, four, three, two, one. You go in a downward pattern. And Beit Hillel says, no, you light in an upwards pattern. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, until the last night you light eight. And the Gemara asks, what's the reason that for Beit Shammai? And the Gemara gives two reasons for Beit Shammai. Reason number one is Beit Shammai is going how many days are left. So at the beginning of the eighth night, how many days of Hanukkah are left? Eight. In the beginning of the seventh night, seven, and so on, six, four, five, six, five, four. I think that's where the numbers go. Right, three, two, one. Secondly, we do find when it comes to the karbanos brought on Sukkot that the parim that were brought on the first day of Sukkot, there were 13 parim, and on the second day there were 12, and then 11, and then 10, and then 9, and 8, and 7, and 7. So it goes in a downward spiral, downward pattern, so also we also go downward. Beis Hillel, on the other hand, has two reasons why we go upward. One is we don't take a look at how many days are left, but how many days are we into. So on the first night, we're into the first day. The second night, we're into the second day. The third night, the third day. And probably the clincher of a reason, why do we go upwards and not downwards? Ma'alin ba'kodesh v'lo maridin. We go upwards and not downwards when it comes to different kedusha. And of course, we pass them like Beis Hillel, that we go upwards. There's a famous, it's not so famous, but there's a very important, it will be famous for you in a moment, famous machloket between the Tosfot and the Rambam regarding the third level, right? There's the basic level, then the Mahadrin level, then the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin level. If you're doing the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, do you do level 2 plus level 3? Meaning you do Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? Or if you're doing level 3, then you don't do level 2. Which means as follows. Tosfot claims that if you want to do the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, meaning you want to show how many days of Chanukah it is, so then you should only have one set, one menorah being lit in the house. Because if you're going to do Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mahadrin, you're going to double up. So what are you going to do? There's mother, father, four kids, right? The first night you're going to light six candles, and the second night you're going to light 12. Right. So if somebody sees 12 candles in the window, so what does he say? He says, it must be the second night of Hanukkah and there's six people in the family. Or is he going to say it's the sixth night of Hanukkah and there are two people in the family? Or maybe it's the fourth night of Hanukkah and there are three people in the family. It's the third night of Hanukkah plus another fourth. Or it's the first night of Hanukkah and there are 12 people in the family. Well, no. And therefore, if you're doing like Beis Hillel, 1, 2, 3, 4, you want to show how many days it is, you should have one Chanukiah in the household. That's it. And the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no. The first night you light 6, and the second night you light 12, and the third night you light 18, and then 24, and then 30. If you're doing Mahajan, you also do the Mahajan. In a very strange way of paskening, The Mechaber, who usually paskins like the Rambam, in this case, paskins like the Bali Atosa. And therefore the Mechaber writes, Mechaber the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, that if you want to do Mahajan min a Mahajan, it's one Chanukiah per household. And that's the way that Svaradim are Nohig. In Svaradim homes, there's one Chanukiah per household. It's not because they're trying to save money on the oil. It's because if you're doing Mahajan min a Mahajan, Mechaber the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Bali Atosa, then you don't do Mahajan. It's one Chanukiah, everybody speaks. And the Ramah, who would usually paskin like the Ashkenazic, Bali Atosot, in this case, paskins like the Svardik, Ramba. With one catch. You don't put, in your family of six, you don't put six candles and 12 and 18 lined up, 24, 30 minutes. You do have more than one Chanukiah, but they should be slightly separated from each other. So on the first night, you'll see six individual candles. And on the second night, you'll see six double candles. And on the third night, you'll see six triple candles. And therefore, in most Ashkenazim, almost Paschal like the Ramah, that those who do Mahadrin, there will be more than one Chanukiah per household, but they are placed separately. Sometimes they're in separate windows, sometimes they're in the same window, but slightly separate from each other. So that you can tell, you'll see the third night, you may see 18 candles, but you see three candles, three candles, three candles, three candles. So you can tell that it's six menorahs, three candles each. Okay, we'll come back to this yet when we have certain halacha lemaisa questions. Are women chayim their Hanukkah? So of course, at first glance, without knowing anything, no, with knowing a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, but knowing a little bit about the chiyuv of women in Mitzvah, we would say to ourselves that women probably are potter, because Chanukah is a Mitzvah Taseh, says Man Grama. Nevertheless, the Gemara in Shabbat tells us that women are chayav in their Chanukah. Why? Sha'at hein ayu b'oto hanei. I think they were involved in the miracle. The Gemara uses it in three different locations. Ner Chanukah is one. What are the other two? Abakosos. And Mikra Megillah, right? And all three, the Gemara says, women are chayav, shopping, how you vote on eight. The women are chayav, there's a machloket. In Tosfos, it's called two different opinions, what it means, how you vote on eight. Either it means that they were one of the catalysts towards the miracle. When it comes to Purim, of course, it's Esther. When it comes to Yitzhak Mitzrayim, it's the Shechud Nashim Tzutkaniyos, Nigalu Avatini Mitzrayim. When it comes to Hanukkah, it's the story of Yehudit, who got the Syrian Greek general drunk and chopped off his head and then helped create the big victory, etc. That's one opinion in Tosfos. The other opinion is, it's not that they were necessarily the catalyst, but they greatly benefited from the nace just like the men. They were also under the subjugation of the Syrian Greeks and also were subject to all the rules and regulations of denying us the ability to practice Yiddishkeit, and therefore they were also saved by the nace. So there are two different opinions out there in Nobel Fanesa, but women are chayav. So we now come in to a therefore as follows. If a woman lives alone and she lives by herself, must she light Hanukkah candles? The answer is yes. If a woman is a married woman, so if she is in a Svardic household, will she light her own menorah? The answer is no, because only one menorah per household. Neither she nor the sons nor the daughters, only one menorah per household. In an Ashkenazi home, would a married woman light her own menorah? So by Ashkenazim, everybody lights, right? So one would think that in an Ashkenazi home, everybody should light. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, everybody lights their own menorah in an Ashkenazi home, except for married women. Why? It says because of Ishto Kegufo. Husband and wife are like one, they have one menorah, everybody else is another. And in many Ashkenazic homes, that is the practice, that married women don't light a separate menorah, they go together, husband and wife, on one Chanukiah. Soloveitchik did not like this. He pointed out from the Rambam, it's mashma, that even married women would have, there would be separate candles for the married women. And from what I understand, that Soloveitchik with Paskin, and someone told me, I read somewhere, that Rav Soloveitchik's wife would light her own menorah. So there are definitely Ashkenazic women, married women, who do like the Almanah. So some do and some don't. So in the name of Moshe Feinstein, he said his wife didn't like separate menorah, but he said in Europe there, he said there were many, many women who, married women who did like their own menorah. Okay. Yeah. We'll get to that soon. What about single women? Daughters. So again, in a Svardekalm, the daughters don't like separately. But not only don't the daughters like separately, neither do the sons. There's only one, Chanukiah. But in Ashkenazi home, so you don't say Ishto Gugufo by his daughter, you don't say Bito Gugufo. So it would therefore make sense that the daughter should be lighting separately. That's what seems to be the simple reading of the halacha. Nevertheless, there are some families, Ashkenazic families, where the sons light separately, but the daughters don't. The question is why? So there are a number of reasons given in the Achronim why there was a custom that the single women don't light separately. But some sofer suggested as follows. The real way to light them, we'll Be'ezrat Hashem talk about it, and that's what's done here in many places in Yerushalayim and with Medina de Gemara, is where would people light? Outside the house. So, you understand, it's outside the house, it's nighttime, everybody's gathered around. Some felt it wasn't such, you know, this wasn't the time to run a mixer between the single boys and the single girls and everybody's hanging around outside, etc. So, they said, the single women don't have to light. They can be yotzi with the fathers. And the ikra din, they are yotzi with the fathers. So, I guess it was a question of heder in mitzvah Chanukah versus heder in Hatznei Alechet. So, in some location, I guess they voted for heder in Hatznei Alechet. That was one reason suggested by some people. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach suggested another reason. He said, until the girl's 12, so she's not chayav, really. Not that mitzvah. And a few short years after the age of 12, what will Be'ezrat Hashem happen? She'll get married, right? And then she'll be Ishto Kagufa. So for those few years in between 12 and when she gets married, for those few years, she's going to start lighting and stop lighting. So the meaning was that they don't light. In any event, the bottom line is that in some, again, in some Ashkenazic homes, many Ashkenazic homes, I think, when the boys are lighting, the girls are lighting, but there are Ashkenazic homes where the sons light and the girls don't light. So now let me ask the question, can a woman light for a man? So let me start the reverse question. Can a man light for a woman? Meaning, it's time to light candles, and the wife isn't home. She's coming home very late. So, can the husband light with the wife not home, and would the wife be okay her role in the midst? And the answer is, yes. The husband can light, even if the wife's not there, and she fulfills her role. And now I'll tell you a story. The Chofetz Chaim, when he was younger, used to go from time to time to visit somebody by the name of Rav Nachum Harodna. Now, I don't know very much about Rav Nachum Harodna. The only thing I know about him is that the Chofetz Chaim used to go visit him because he wanted to learn how to act properly. So if he was one of the Chofetz Chaim's rebbes in Nidos, he must have been an unusual person. The story is told that the Chofetz Chaim once went to visit Rav Nachum Harodna, and it was Hanukkah. And he arrives, the story goes more or less like this. He arrives in the afternoon, and they're sitting there talking Divrei Torah. What else would the Chofetz Chaim and Nachum not do, but they talk about Divrei Torah. It came Shkia, sunset, and there's a machloket, well, Be'ezrat Hashem soon see, the machloket where you're supposed to light at sunset or at Sefer Kochavim. Comes Shkia, and Rav Nachum HaRadna doesn't light candles. Okay. It comes Sefer Kochavim, and Rav Nachum HaRadna doesn't light candles. Okay. 15 minutes passed, another half hour passed, 45 minutes passed. Now, after Sefer Kochavim, there's a knock on the door, and in walks Mrs. Nachum HaRadna. At which point, Rav Nachum gets up and says, no, it's time to light candles. So, they get up and they light candles. Afterwards, the Chofetz Chaim says, in Rebbe, he says, why did you wait? Okay, we pass in this manenu that you can even light later, your yotzeh. But l'chatchila, the poskim say a person should light on time, either by shki or by sefer kochavim. And we all know that your wife would have been yotzeh the candles anyway. So why do you wait? So Nachman Rebbe said him as follows. The Gemara asked the following question. If a person has money on Friday to buy only one candle, he can either use that candle for Ner Shabbos or use it for Ner Chanukah. If it's a Ner Shabbos candle, he can make use of it. He can use the light. If it's a Ner Chanukah candle, he can't make use of it. He can't make use of it. They normally shoot when he stomachs that. He can't use the light of a Hanukkah candle. So what candle should he buy? Should he buy a Ner Shabbos or a Ner Hanukkah? The Gemara asks the question. The Gemara says he should buy Ner Shabbos. Why? Hanukkah is Pesume Nisa. He says Ner Shabbos is Shalom Bayis. He says, what do you see from the Gemara? Says in Nachman Radna. That Shalom Bayis trumps Pesume Nisa. Because my wife knows the halacha very well. She knows that she can be also the mitzvah if I light and she's not home. But I know that she likes to be home for the lighting of the Hanukkah candle. And therefore, if because of Shalom Bayis you can skip Pesumei Nisa altogether, certainly Mishum Shalom Bayis you can delay Pesumei Nisa for another hour or so. And therefore, so I waited a little bit to do the Pesumei Nisa because I know my wife likes to be here for Ner Chanukah. So that's the halacha. The halacha is that the husband can light and the wife doesn't have to be home when she's yotzei. But the halacha is also that if the husband knows that the wife prefers to be home for Ner Chanukah, what should he do? Should wait. And light when she comes home. That's all. What about if the husband's not going to be home? That's a very honest question. Can the wife light? So the halacha is, can she be motzi'in? Yes. She can be motzi'in. They're the same level of obligation. As long as they're the same level, so she can be motzi'in. And I saw it written that Rav Moshe Feinstein would tell his wife, I told you, Moshe, they only used like 1 minute between them. So Moshe Feinstein tell her, if he was going to be home a little bit late, so she would wait. But if he was coming home very late, I don't know, they were a chasana or something, and he was going to be home very late, and his wife was going to be home, he used to tell his wife she should light at the right time, and have him in mind, and he'll be okay with her life. Okay. Now, when's the right time to light? So as I mentioned earlier, there's a machlokas haposkim. When's the right time to light? The best time to light. The question is, at shkia or at sefer kochavim? At sunset or at sefer kochavim? Nightfall. The machlokas harishonim is the machlokas hachronim. The minag of most Ashkenazim in Yerushalayim. Most Ashkenazim in Yerushalayim light at Shkia, which is approximately 4:40. It's going to take a few seconds, I think. This chart is outside. And therefore, since the inception of MMI, we always rearrange the schedule on Hanukkah, so that Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday night, the first night, Wednesday afternoon, we don't have regular classes. So, but on Thursday, right, when usually we have classes till very late, so I have to tell you this, right? The 3:30 class starts at 3 and ends at 4, right? And we urge that the Ashkenaziot light what's the most accepted custom in Yerushalayim at Shkia, at 4:40. Sfaradim generally light at Seita Kochavim, but they don't take the more chamor Seita Kochavim, not the Seita Kochavim that we wait, let's say on Motzei Shabbos, or Motzei Yom Kippur, etc. Ravadi Yosef writes about 15 minutes after Shkia. So if they're going to be started, the altar will be lighting, whether they will or won't be, but that would be about 15 minutes after Shkia.
Now, not all Ashkenazim light exactly at Shkia. There's some of these guys, Rabbi Yoshim, set to light about 10 minutes later, Mechazim, you set to light about 15, 20 minutes later, and all sorts of different shita. But the more accepted custom in Yerushalayim is to light at Shkia, and therefore, that's what we urge the Ashkenaziot to light at 4:40. What's the latest? Yeah.
15 minutes after Shkia, only in
Yerushalayim, or is it Rabbi Yoshim says that, in general, he said to wait about 15 minutes. It could be in Chutz Laaretz, where it takes longer to get dark. Like if you've noticed here in Eretz Yisrael, right, much after sunset, it gets dark here much quicker than let's say it does in New York. You notice this? So Tzeit HaKochavim is earlier here than it is in, let's say, a place like New York. So I don't know what Rav Avadia Yosef would ask him for a Svardim living in New York. But in Eretz Yisrael, he says, it's a Svardim to wait about 15 minutes, approximately, and then to light. What's the latest that one can light? The absolute, absolute latest that one can light? No, later than Chatzot. Alot HaShachar. To light before, sometime before Alot HaShachar. I don't know exactly when Alot HaShachar is. I should have checked on, hopefully it's not no good to anybody here. But, it depends. They use different times, but my guess is sometime close to around 5 o'clock in the morning. I should have taken the thing. But it's pretty late. Hopefully you'll... Is there a curfew, Sarah? 12:30 during vacation time. Yes, okay. So you'll be back before 5 or something like that. So absolute latest a person can light is before Alot HaShachar. It's preferable that when you light late, that if possible, what should, well not what, but who should be around, in order to create Pesume Nisa, that at least one other person should notice the candles, that does not give you permission to wake up your roommate, or one of the matichot. We have another here for you. You know, coming like 4 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden, I forgot the light Hanukkah candle. Sherry, you got to see my candle. Quickly, get out of there. No, that does not give you permission to wake anybody up. It is preferable that someone else, one other person, but a number of Achronim say that even if you're all alone, no one else is going to see your candles, still, you're allowed to light and say a bracha. Okay, the earlier the better, by the way, which means that if it's time to light at 4:40, and you have the, for whatever reason, you're not lighting at 4:40, so you don't come when it's 6 o'clock and say, I have till 5 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know. The earlier the better. These are my demons, and if you can light at 6, don't wait till 7. If you can light at 7, don't wait till 8. Should do it as soon as possible after the most appropriate time. What? Yeah.
Other than your father, do you see
it? So it's Ner Ishubeta, which means that one person of the household can light on behalf of the entire household. For instance, Reb Moshe Feinstein's wife lit for Reb Moshe, and she could be mostly him. Oh, we'll talk about what's going on in Mitzvah Diras too. Okay. No, it has to be somebody who's bar or bat mitzvah, not somebody who's in the
cousin. Yeah.
Okay, we'll get there. Okay. Let me ask you a question. What is the... Yeah.
If next day it's the light, or if it's the Torah, so you want to do it, and next day you can start self next to it, does that mean, like, that every single night we have to do it, or is it, like, if next day, like, they get one to one night, like, on or whatever, like...
You mean lighting separately? Meaning, like, some nights the daughter wants to light her own, and some nights she wants to be out there with her father, she would be allowed to do that. There's a little bit of inconsistency. In order for that to make sense, there would have to be a reason why she's doing it some nights and not other nights. Okay. All right. What is the absolute earliest that a person can light? So we said the best time to light is either at sunset or at Tzeit HaKochavim. Can a person light earlier than sunset? And the answer is yes. The absolute earliest a person can light is the earliest. Plag HaMincha. Plag HaMincha, again, I apologize, I meant to check exactly when it is. It's probably about 60 minutes or so before sunset, approximately, which would be about 3:40, that's the absolute earliest that a person can light. But if a person lights earlier than sunset, they have to make sure, as we'll soon see, that their candles or their oil burns for a longer amount of time. And now we'll talk about what that long amount of time is. How long do the candles have to burn for? So the Gemara says the candles have to burn, they tell a time, well, sort of like a time. How long? Doesn't say it. The Gemara says, Ad shetichle regel min hashuk. What does it mean, Ad shetichle regel min hashuk? When people have left the marketplace. People have left the marketplace. Now, in ancient times, when do people leave the marketplace? Well, basically, the last people left the marketplace as it got pretty dark outside, because you didn't stay around and know people didn't do their shopping in the dark. So the Rambam writes that Shatikla Regal Menashuk is Kimo Chatzi Shah, it's about a half hour. About a half hour. The Ritva writes that it depends. He doesn't give a time, he says it depends on time and place. Now, I remember once driving back from, I was in Boston during the summer, there was a learning program there, whatever it is, in the Shabbos we were in Boston, we drove back from Boston, we drove into Manhattan at 4 o'clock in the morning. It looked like it was midday. Like traffic jams on the streets, crowded sidewalks, the restaurants were open. It was like, so when that Shatikla Regal Minashuk? If you lived in Manhattan, when's that Shatikla Regal? It's like, they advertise the city that never sleeps or something like that. You know? Say if you live in like some little hick town, I don't know if they like that term, like in the middle of nowhere, like in the mountains, like you live in Lake Como, Pennsylvania or something like that. So everyone goes to sleep at 8 o'clock at night with the cows or whatever. So, all right, so Shatikla Regal Minashuk. But when's that Shatikla Regal Minashuk? The Halacha L'maisa, the poskim paskin is followed, based on the Rambam and subsequently the Shulchan Aruch. We use the me'ikar din, the half-hour time, which means that the candles have to burn minimally for a half hour after dark. Now we paskin, no matter when you light, they should burn for a half hour after, no matter when you light, they should burn for a half hour after dark. Even if you're lighting at 9 o'clock at night, whatever it is. But there's a hidur to have your candles burn longer. Why? Me'ikra din, we say a half hour is a half hour. But because people are roaming the streets to late at night, so they suggest different times. And some folks can say, like if stores close at 7, say you should light till 7:30. Some say stores close at 8, you should light till 8:30. I once heard, I don't know if it's true, that the Bishkarov used to live near the old Edison Theater, right, which was near Geula. So he used to have his candles burning until after, the like 10 minutes after the last showing in the movie theater ended. He said, okay, the last showing ended at whatever time it was, 10 minutes for people to come out of the theater and, you know, get on and walk and get on their way home, they used to leave it burning till then. That was his chumra. Me'ikar din, it's not necessary, and if they burn for a half hour after dark, so that's good enough. But there are those who like, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach used to suggest 2-3 hours. Right. There are different things to do. In practical terms, that means as follows. If you're lighting at Seif HaKochavim, minimally a half hour. If you want to have longer, that's nice. If you're lighting at Shkia, so also technically minimally a half hour, and if you want more, it's nice. But if you want to be machmir like both shitos, if you think it's like you light at Shkia, but maybe it should be half hour after say, so it should last for, let's say, like 50 minutes. 45, 50 minutes. If you light earlier than Shkia, you have to make sure that it's going to burn for at least a half hour after Shkia. If I light like a half hour before Shkia, I have to make sure it's burning for at least 1 hour. And if I'm a Tzeka Kol Chavim person, I'll have to make sure it's burning for at least like an hour and a quarter, an hour and 20 minutes, something like that. But the more the merrier. Those candles that we all love, right, those little boxes with the small colored candles, they don't sell them in England? Okay. We all know those candles, right? The one that 44 candles, right? Everybody knows, and they have different colors, etc. So those candles last between my experimentation with them, last somewhere between 30 and 50 minutes. It's by the last night of Hanukkah, they don't last so long. Why not? Because there's a lot of heat, so they melt more rapidly. If also you leave, if your menorah is located on top of a radiator, it tends to not last so long. Yes, I discovered that one year. It wasn't too bright in physics. Yeah, anyway. So they last anywhere from 30 to 50 minutes, which means that if you're lighting after dark, so they'll do the bare minimum. Shabbos candles, like tea lights or the tall Shabbos candles, those usually last somewhere between 3 to 4 hours. Much longer. So they're obviously very good. Yeah. So, me'ikar hadin, you could say one, but if you want to do the mahadrin, then a mahadrin, so they should all last. Now, there is one night of Hanukkah that everybody agrees you got to light early, which is Friday, Erev Shabbos. Right. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that we light the Hanukkah candles, just give me a couple minutes, we light the Hanukkah candles before we light the Shabbos candles. So, when should we light the Hanukkah candles? So if you normally light Hanukkah candles, Shabbos candles, let's say about 20 minutes before Shkia, you always light Shabbos candles. So you should light Hanukkah candles by 25 minutes before Shkia. So if you're lighting 25 minutes before Shkia and they have to last for a half hour after Shkia at least, that means that their Hanukkah candles on Friday have to last for at least approximately an hour. If that's the minimum, maybe a little bit longer, an hour and a quarter. So you can't use those little colored candles when you're lighting on Friday because they won't last till a half hour after dark. So what do you use? So you can either use Shabbos candles, tall thick ones. The problem with that is that they often don't fit into your menorah. You have to carve out the bottom to get it to fit. You could forget about your menorah and just line up on Friday a bunch of nice tea lights and do it that way. They do sell tall Shabbos candles. I once had a very bad, this is way back when I was still living in the States, I once had a bad experience. It was like the fifth night of Hanukkah, and the candles just all started, because of the heat, they all started drooping. Like, they looked like all like the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it was just like, so it was really bad, so I don't like using them. But maybe other people, somebody told me afterwards you should freeze them beforehand. If you freeze them beforehand so they don't melt so rapidly, I don't know. I've never tried it. I didn't major in physics, so please don't take my word for it. But you can do that. And obviously, if you have oil, then just make sure that what do you do? Just make sure that you have more than the minimal amount of oil. And you can test it out the other night and see how much oil you need to make sure it lasts. Okay. There's a machloket, those that you know that the minhag Yerushalayim, at least amongst many Ashkenazim, is to light Shabbos candles how many minutes before Shkia? 40. Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was against relying on that minhag on Erev Shabbos Chanukah. Because the whole year long you can light Shabbos candles 40 minutes before. But he held that when it comes to Erev Shabbos Chanukah, don't light Shabbos candles 40 minutes, because then you're lighting your Hanukkah candles 45 minutes before Shkia. So you shouldn't be lighting so early if you don't have to. Even though Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva that he says if you always do 40, so do 40. Shlomo Zalman didn't agree. He says this week you shouldn't do 40 light Hanukkah candles 25 minutes in. But you have to be zaris. Listen, you always have to be careful because in many households, like, everybody's rushing, and then you got to get the Hanukkah candles ready. And if they're not ready, and it takes time, and if there are a bunch of people all lighting Hanukkah candles, So everybody's running to light Hanukkah candles, and this one, and you're waiting for that one, you can get very close and much too close to Shkia. So you should make sure to get everything ready early Friday afternoon, all the candles set up, the yoyo set up, etc. And you have to pay attention to the clock. You have to get ready a little bit early, and who's ever lighting, usually the wife, is lighting the Shabbos candles, so she should just make sure that she's ready, and, you know, even if all the kids haven't, but you have to light the Hanukkah, the Shabbos candles on time. Yes. So the halach in general is kaf sa'ina zakukla. If the candle goes out, not due to your negligent lighting, just that it happened to go out, you do not have to relight it. There are those who, if you're still able to relight it, to relight it again. However, if you lit your candle in front of an open window and the wind blew it out, then your lighting didn't count because you were negligent in the way that you lit it. If you lit the candle and the wick caught for half a second, then burnt, fizzled out, so that wasn't a good lighting. But if you had a decent lighting, and then your dog jumped on the menorah and knocked everything down, well, your little sister did it, whatever it is, then you're not required to relight again, as long as the lighting was good. So some people have a custom to light again, but you don't have to. Yes? No, no, it's not necessary. Obviously, safety is of the utmost importance, but you don't have to be there.
And you see that you might not have enough oil and your oil
will... No. The amount of oil that that's necessary has to be in the little vial at the time that you light. If you had a machine that would drop drops of oil in every, 15 seconds, so that it would stay lit for hours, but at the time you lit, there wasn't enough oil in there, then you're not yotzei. The amount of oil that you need in there has to be in there at the time that you light. Okay. There is also one night of Hanukkah that no one lights on time. Saturday Shabbos. Right. Well, certainly if you light by Shki, you can't light on time. So there, you don't light on time. So when do you light Masai Shabbos? So you light at the first available opportunity after Shabbos is over. Now, Minna Yerushalayim, according to some, was so important to light at Shkia, or if not at Shkia, it's close to, that you may notice in some shuls that there are shuls that, let's say, if Shabbos is over at 5:15, so they will not arrive at 5:15. Some shuls, among Masai Shabbos Hanukkah, when Shabbos is over at 5:15, will start davening at 5:04. They'll daven earlier. Why? So that instead of beginning Ma'ariv when Shabbos is over, what do they try to do? End Ma'ariv when Shabbos is over. Because you have to light as close as possible to the Zman. You can't light right away. You can't light at Shkia, but as close as possible. So there are those who do that. I read a story that Shmuel Salant was the Rav in Yerushalayim around the turn of the century. He was so makbet that he said when he finished davening Motzei Shabbos, he would rush home. So there was a guy, he finished davening, the shul was over, and there was a guy who came in late, and he was davening Shmon Esrei by the door. So he couldn't walk in front of him. That's what the walk in front of davening Shmon Esrei. So instead of waiting the 2 minutes until the guy finished Shmon Esrei to rush home, he climbed out the window. Because he had to get home as soon as possible. So there are Yerushalmim who are like, so soon as possible. But not everybody holds that way. And there are many shuls that don't daven Ma'ariv early because they're worried. People so much associate the time of Ma'ariv with when Shabbos is over that if you start davening early, they'll think that Shabbos is over early. So it's not. So many shuls are davening bizman, and it's only as you get home. Which do you do first? When you get home, do you Avdallah first and then like Ner Chanukah, or do Ner Chanukah and then do Avdallah? It's a machloket ha'achronim, it's a machloket ha'poskim, different people have different customs. So whatever you do is fine. Some do Havdalah and then Ner Chanukah, some do Ner Chanukah and then Havdalah. Okay, yes, yeah, maybe.
So, is this also permissible
to daven Ma'ariv early? So, usually on Motzei Shabbos, we wait later than the time necessary to wait for davening because we want to wait for Motzei Shabbos. In other words, people will daven Ma'ariv during the week at an earlier time, but on Ma'ariv Motzei Shabbos, they wait later. So when it's Motzei Shabbos Chanukah, they daven Ma'ariv, the earliest time to daven Ma'ariv, even though it's earlier than when we'd be doing it on a regular Masai Shabbos. Is that clear? It sounded funny. We, you know, the time for Tzeit HaKochavim, right, we use one time when it's a Rabbanan issue, one time when it's a Daraita issue of Kriyat Shema, and another time when it's Masai Shabbos, Masai Yom Kippur. So we use different times, different ways of figuring out Masai. So usually Masai Shabbos, we wait the latest. So, but here we'll do the earliest Tzeit HaKochavim time. Well, no, because they're davening Ma'ariv at the right time. They just generally, and they won't do Melacha any earlier. But instead of the standard, listen, we don't want people to get confused, so we daven Ma'ariv when Shabbos is over. So now they daven Ma'ariv a few minutes before Shabbos is over to finish on time. It depends where. I was a week and a half ago, I was in New York on my trip. So I daven in the shul. So there they announced that, I don't remember the exact times, but it was like, Ma'ariv will be at 5:20 and Shabbos is over at 5:28. That's what they do all year long, I guess. It wasn't Hanukkah, even in America. So here in Eretz Yisrael, they usually, in many places, many shuls don't do that. They daven in Ma'ariv when Shabbos is over. So here they'll daven a little bit earlier. Yeah. Who says what? So the Mechaber and the Ramah both say that you should light Hanukkah candles first, and then Ner Havdalah. The Taz and the Chazon Ish, at least most of his life, and later life he changed it, the Taz and for most of life the Chazon Ish said you should make Havdalah first, and then Ner Hanukkah, and the Mishnah Berurah says, do whatever you want. Yeah. We may yet talk about it. They do light Hanukkah candles in shul, but no one is guilty without lighting. Okay. Yeah.
Technically, can't you just like Shabbos is over the time, and then you like come get and make a melacha and put it in here?
Yeah, so that's what the Mechaber and the Ramah says. Right, yeah, people will come, what? Because which comes first? Is Pursume Nisa first? Well, why would you say Abdullah first? Tadeh v'shein o tadeh tadeh kodeh. It's Machlok, it's Achron. Tadeh v'shein o tadeh tadeh kodeh, or Pursume Nisa. Yeah. Okay, so now we're up to it. The most complicated issue in Ner Hanukkah is where to light. That's the most complicated issue. And everybody has a funny-looking house and windows and the mirpeset and the front door and the chaser and the courtyard and etc. Inside, outside, it's the most complicated issue. The Gemara says that really where should one light inside or outside? Outside. One should light the Pesach HaBayit. That's what the din is. But the Gemara says if there's a shat ha-sakon, if it's dangerous to light outside, can you light inside and be yotzei? Yes, you light inside and be yotzei. For probably many, many centuries, the custom in Chutz La'aretz was to light Hanukkah candles inside. Generally, they were worried about lighting outside. Some of this is our non-Jewish neighbors, some of them would appreciate it, some of them would, it might be a cause for, who knows, vandalism, anti-Semitic acts, etc. So the custom in Chutz La'aretz for centuries was to light inside. Here in Eretz Yisrael, there's Manenu, you'll see it's really wonderful. You'll go walk down the Chov Najar, Chov Givat Shaul, and not only in Yerushalayim, in many, many places in Eretz Yisrael, people light outside. So you'll ask, how do you light outside? The wind's going to blow it out. So everyone buys these, anybody who's buying outside buys these little glass boxes that they have. You may have seen them already. Right? People buy these glass boxes and people put them all inside and they light these glass boxes. When NMY was first started, the first year, so Rabbi David was in school, and we were trying to spend Hanukkah time, so what should the girls do? So he said, he has an idea, we have 39 girls the first year, says, we'll build this 39 shelves outside the front entrance, we were then on Eliezer HaLevi, block away from Angels, and we'll build it by this entrance, and we'll have like 39 shelves, and the girls would each have glass boxes, etc. So Rabbi Katz convinced Rabbi David that there wasn't such a practical idea. Although you will see
in some of the yeshivas, I don't know if they do it with the sketchy yeshiva across the street, or and Givachov, Givachov, they already have, right, they have their names, they have this, these like huge contraptions with shelves, and people already reserved spaces with their names, right, they do that. So in the end, we didn't do that over here. And Mikadmat Danah, from the very beginning of MMY, we tell the girls that they should light inside. When you're lighting inside, the most important thing, Alpi Halacha, is safety. Without a doubt. The most important thing, I'm not talking about safety overrules Halacha. The Halacha is the Sakanta Chamur Meisura, and therefore the most important thing is safety. And unfortunately, all the time you hear about the fire broke out here because of some Ner Chanukah and a fire broke out there, etc. So you can't light on the windowsill, which is a half a centimeter wide, over your bed, and just, you know, hopefully nothing will fall. Okay? You're not allowed to light there. Where do you light? You light in the common kitchen area. On the table, on the shayish, you should make sure to get aluminum foil put underneath, and everyone can light in the same room, not in windows that are over beds. But in the same room, everybody gets their own chanukiah, and that's where you should be lighting. And that's the proper place, and you'll all be out say the mitzvah that way. That's Hashem, the time comes, and you move here to Eretz Yisrael, so then you're ready, you have your own home, and you can light outside. If you have 38 children, and you want to have 39 things, so then you can work on that. But that's where you should be lighting here. That's what they all be done. And that's how it should take place. Now, and again, we don't light in the dining room. It is a machlokas haposkim, whether it's better in a dorm setting to light in your individual rooms or to light in the main eating room across the street. No, we paskin should light here in the dorm room. Now, who's supposed to light? Please don't break out the tissue, but to a great extent this year, you're living at a home that's away from home. And therefore, according to quite a number of poskim, you're not yotze with the lighting that takes place across the ocean or across the sea, wherever you live. Right? Not to say chas v'shalom that out of sight, out of mind, that you're forgotten, but just that you're very independent this year. And therefore, you're not yotze with your parents' lighting back home. So you need to therefore light on your own. On the other hand, you are all not really, so for Hilchos, Habakkuk Meir Shabbos, he said differently, because it has to do with the joint Shabbos meals. When it comes to Hanukkah, since you are really independent from one another, right, you can't have automatically, like, each dira is its own one big happy family, which you should be, but it does, halachically it's not. And therefore, since Ashkenaziot, at least, where everybody, if you have a custom to light separately at home, should also each light separately here. What about the Sfardiyah, right, where inside the columns only one Chanukiah is lit? So therefore, it's a little bit more complicated. Obviously, if you have someone in the apartment that's a Sfardiyah, she can't tell the other nine Ashkenaziot not to light candles. So you can have one. But if already one is being lit, so for Sfardiyah, she shouldn't really light a separate one, because that's not the minhag of Sfardiyah. Therefore, what the Sfardiyah needs to do is to join up with somebody who's already lighting. And how does she do that? They will jointly buy either the candles, or, if it's oil, jointly buy the oil and the wicks, and it will be a joint ownership. If she is mishtateis bepruta, if she joins up with the prutas, and if she owns part of the oil, part of the wick, part of the candles, then the lighting that her roommate or her flatmate does includes her as well. Right? And she is included in that lighting. But if you have a custom to light separately at home, then you should each be lighting separately over here. So It's a little bit tricky. I got an email from a student in Stern College. She says at home she doesn't light separately. Even though she's an Ashkenaziyah, as we said, some Ashkenaziyah daughters don't light separately. But she's in Stern part of the week and she's home part of the week. But I said it really depends on... See, this year you're really living away from home. The question is, when you're in Stern, let's see, if you haven't been in Stern College, wherever you are, to what extent are you living away from home? And to what extent, no, you're really living at home just 3 nights a week. You happen to sleep in Stern College and in the dorm. Of course, it a little bit depends on the mindset and how you work it out. If you're really living at home, but you happen to be away for a night or two, you're included. If that's halacha. If you happen to be away for a night or two from home, you're included in the lighting that takes place at home. So, for instance, if the husband is away on a business trip one night, so the wife lighting at home is mostly the husband, or vice versa. Right? If you happen to be away one night, you're okay with your parents lighting. If you're not away one night, you're away for the year. So it's different. When you're in university, it may depend how often you go home and what you consider your real base. It's a little bit tricky. It's not easy to define. No, you're all considered separate. You would have to jointly light. In other words, you can do what I mentioned here, is jointly buy candles and have one person light to be most the others. But if your person would normally light separately, that's what you should continue to do. Now, let me just take a few questions. What do you do if you know that the family's in a hotel over Shabbos, over Hanukkah? So the best place to light, if you're in a hotel over Hanukkah, the theoretical best place is? Well, the best place would be, if they would allow you to be, in your room. But they don't allow you. And I'm not telling you to disconnect the smoke detector, etc. So they don't allow you. Okay, so they don't allow you. The next place, best place to light would be, if not at least where you're sleeping, at least where you're eating. But usually they don't allow you to light in the dining room either. So usually they allow you to light in the lobby somewhere. So many years ago, remember when Rabbi David was here, somebody asked him, I think the student was in Columbia or Barnard, I don't remember, one of the secular universities, and they assigned a place in the lobby for the students to light. So it was the only place they were allowed to light. So he asked Rav Nevenfeld what to do, and Rav Nevenfeld said that she could light in the lobby with a bracha, but she should stay there for a while, and she should have something to eat, some zonos. I gave you the sufganiya or something. So to make it a little bit like the place that you're eating, to a certain extent. Not just some part of the lobby we have nothing to do with, like you light in some corner of the lobby and disappear. You should stay around for a while, and there should be some connection between you and the place that you're lighting. So therefore, that's what you should do if you're in a hotel, and they tell you that you should light in the lobby. You should light in the lobby, you can light with a bracha, but you should stay there for a while, and maybe have something to eat, some zonos, and turn it into a little bit of a place that you're eating, so you make some connection between you and that place. If you're going away for Shabbos, so if you're a person who normally lights on your own, so when you go away for Shabbos, what should you do? So you should light on your own. That means taking along whatever paraphernalia you need to light with, but that's what you should do. Remember, you can't use those little Shabbos candles when going away for Shabbos. So that's what you should do. If it's so hard to move your stuff and carry it, etc., so as a guest in somebody's home, you can be okay with their lighting, but in order to do that, you have to own a share of their candles or their oil and wicks. So you can either pay them for it, but if they don't want to take money, then you can ask them if they can make if you can own it, and they'll tell you, yeah, we'll give you as a present. So you have to lift up the menorah, if it's already set up, so just lift it up the tefach and have in mind to be kona, to acquire a share of the candles if it's still in the box or it's still in the bottle. So pick it up and have in mind to be kona share, and you can be able to see that way, or you can bring your own things along with you. If you're leaving Motzei Shabbos and coming back to the dorm, see, if you're going to be coming back right away, so you should light back here as soon as you come back. If you're staying for Aunt Hani's Hanukkah party in Ma'aleh Adumim, and you're not going to be back to the dorm till by curfew, of course, but not till very late, then since you slept there Friday night and you ate there Shabbos day and you still haven't left, so you can continue, you can light there or be mishtapik the fruta over there as well, etc. Somebody asked me, and I have to get back to them, if you, somebody asked me like this, if you have chesed, and your chesed ends at, if your chesed runs from 3:30 to 5:30, well, let's say 3:30 to 5:30, from 4:30 to 5:30, so you either have to light after Plaga Mincha before Shkia, or light sometime after Tate when you get back, as long as you're not getting back too late, especially if you're lighting inside. As long as you're not getting back too late, it'd be better to light when you got back home. Okay, question. Yes. Right, because Sfardiyot don't light their own sephardim, so they can ship in, right? You can, but if the Ashkenazi custom is that you always light separately, Mahajan and Mahajan and Mahajan, so then you should continue to do so. The halacha is that the candles have to be lit in the proper place and should stay there.
Yes.
You can't light them in the wrong place and then move them to the right place. You're sleeping in someone else's room on Friday night, so then you could either light your own, which would be preferable if you're an Ashkenaziya. If you're a Sfardiya, then you can join together with her.
Okay. So if you're Ashkenaz, but you weren't like in the question of the Mount Meron, whether
you're menorah? Even in your, when you're in your parents' house, you never lit separately.
Mm-hmm.
You were always out there. So then you can act, well, again, for an Ashkenazi, it's not so bad. I would still recommend to light your own. But if you don't want to, you can be mishtatev.
Can you be mishtatev, like, light your own, and then when you go away for Shabbos, like, be mishtatev?
If it's a big deal to do it when you go away. I don't know. You have to find out. It depends. Like, if all of a sudden, like, five girls are going to somebody's house for Shabbos, they may not have place for five more menorahs in the window. It could be a problem. So you can ask when you get there, call up.
If we're lighting on the kitchen counter, for example, are we being for each other, or is this something
yeah.
Like
No, for each other. It's fine.
Is our field to reach, try to light it by the window, or does it matter?
If you had, well, it depends how high you are, to a certain extent, because you can't light. If you're more than 20 amos, it's about 30 feet above street level, then it doesn't really make a difference. But again, I don't know the setup of all the D-Rot, but windows that are over beds or over anything, that's out of the question, absolutely not. If in the kitchen you have one, so and it's if you're on the lower floor, so it would be nicer. Yes? If you're coming back here, Motzei Shabbat, so if you're not going to be back very late, you should light here. If you're going to be back very late, so then light where you stay Motzei Shabbat. Just don't run out so fast. You can't be Yotzei lighting in the place where you're not sleeping, meaning that if you were Shabbos in one place, and you're sleeping here, Motzei Shabbos. In the meantime, you're going to Uncle Shlomi's house. You can't be Yotzei the lighting in Uncle Shlomi's house, because that's not your house. Right. Okay, I want to go to one more thing, and then if there are other questions, I'll take them separately. Just very quickly, in terms of the brachot. And the brachot in the state of lighting. How many brachot are there the first night of Hanukkah we light? We light. In the first night of Hanukkah we say, three brachot. The first bracha, there are two different nuskot, lahadlik ner shel Chanukah or lahadlik ner Chanukah. Either one is acceptable. The second bracha is sha'asa nisei, avoteinu, and the third bracha is shachiyanu. The other night of Chanukah, we only say two brachos, we don't say shachiyanu, except for the first night. Most poskim say that the proper way to light is to recite all brachot and then light the candles. Meaning recite all three brachot the first night or recite the two brachot the second night and then light the candles. That's what most poskim say. Brishkas have a certain chumrah,
they light, they say the, after the first night they say one bracha, and then they light, start lighting a candle, and then they say the other bracha. But most folks can say the best way is you say all the brachas that you're saying, and then you start lighting the candles, and that's what you should do. The most accepted way, and again, there are different costs, the most accepted way is that when you're facing the menorah, right, as I'm facing the menorah, I put the candle, if I have a Chanukiah, on the right side or on the left side as I'm facing it.
Okay.
On the right side. And then the next night, I have the one all the way to the right and the one next to it. And which one do I light first? The newest one first, and then move to the right. This is not a sociological religious statement, but you should always move to the right. Kopino Samantone Kiyu Yamina. I'm not talking ideology or hashkafically, because Kopino, if you'll ever notice, Kohanim, right, Kohanim will do it properly, when they face, when their back to the keyboard, they face the Aron Kodesh, during Birkas Kohanim, during the bracha, they turn around. So they should always turn to the right and then turn back that way. So we generally try to move always to the right. That's the most common practice. There are other things as well. As we mentioned earlier, the Shemen Zayit is a mitzvah min amuvchar. Why? Why is it better to use Shemen Zayit? Because the nes happened with Shemen Zayit. You yotzei with candles 100%, but there's a mitzvah min amuvchar to Shemen Zayit. And what else do we need to know? Why we should have gone up? We don't have time for that. During Hanukkah, we add al anisim into Birkat HaMazon and Shemona Esrei. If you forget, you're still Yosef, you don't repeat Shemona Esrei, you don't repeat Birkat HaMazon. We do say Hallel on Hanukkah, Hallel Sholem, as you say each day of Hanukkah, and everyone should have a wonderful Hanukkah.